come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled A Lamp to My Feet, Light to My Path, a study through Psalm 119. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Here's a little fun fact. President Abraham Lincoln established the United States Secret Service to prevent the illegal production of money. During Lincoln's administration, more than one-third of the nation's money was counterfeit. So the USSS was created to thwart that, that counterfeiting. And that's what Psalm 119 is. It is not, it's a secret service that just directs us to the real thing, to the real thing. How do you know the difference between counterfeit money and real money? You handle the real money over and over and over and over. That's what we do with the Word of God. We handle it over and over and over and over, and we get it into our heart so that when a counterfeit comes along, we recognize them right away. So, Father God, we just come before you right now, Lord. We're thankful to be a part of this morning. We're thankful to be in your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit, Lord, that you said that you would come, and we just need to recognize that you're here. And so, Father, I pray that you would direct everything that's spoken. Father, that you would receive all the glory, all the praise, and that you would be worshiped, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I am very excited about this, about our study in Psalm 119. I have every marker that I have in my Bible is in Psalm 119 now. And it's marked up. It has circles. It has arrows. It has colors. It has lines. It has everything in it. Because every time I read over it, there was something else that the Lord showed me in it. And do you find that when you're in the Word of God? Every time you look into it, something new comes up, and it's brought to your attention. So that's what we're going to get a lot of in this book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is the largest, perhaps most widely used book in the Bible. It explores that full range of a human experience in a very personal and practical way. There are 150 songs that run from the creation through the patriarchal, theocratic, kings, exile, and post-exilic periods. So all of that is in here. It is a huge book. It is one of the bigger books, and the subject matter in the Psalms includes so many different topics, such as jubilation, war, peace, worship, judgment, messianic prophecy, praise, and lament. And if I'm talking too fast, somebody raised their hand. Okay. I haven't drank coffee for a long time. And before I came in here, I had that much coffee. And so I just noticed I was kind of going, go ahead, write it down, go ahead. So the Psalms were set to the accompaniment of stringed instruments and served as the temple hymn book and devotional guide for the Jewish people. The book of Psalms was gradually collected and was originally unnamed because of the diversity of the things that were in it, the variety of the material. It became known as the Book of Praise, the Book of Praises, because almost every song contains some note of praise to God. Almost every psalm contains some note of praise to God. It spans from the time of Moses, 1410 BC, to Ezra and Nehemiah in 430 BC. The Psalms is divided into five books. In the book one is Psalm 1 through 41. Book two is Psalm 42 to 72. Book 3 is Psalm 73 to 89. Book 4, Psalm 90 to 106. And Book 5 is Psalms 107 to 150. Book 5 is where we find our subject for our study for the next 11 weeks. Now, Psalms is an acrostic in praise and scriptures, says Bruce Wilkinson. It is it's an alphabetic acrostic, meaning that the first letters of each line in the Hebrew follow through the alphabet, eight lines, so eight verses in each section. And so eight lines times 22 letters, which are the Hebrew alphabet, equals 176 verses. One message of this psalm is that we are to live a lifestyle that demonstrates, we are to live a lifestyle that demonstrates obedience to the Lord. We are to live a lifestyle that demonstrates obedience to the Lord, who is a God of order and not of chaos. And we see that order here in Psalm 119. There are nine acrostic psalms in the book of Psalms. I guess they're psalms if they're in the book of Psalms, right? Okay, see, I talk slower and then I can't remember what I said. Maturity just ain't all it's cracked up to be. There are nine acrostic psalms. Six of those acrostic psalms were written by David. It is said that David taught his children the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet, by using this Psalm 119. He taught them the alphabet, but clearly taught them the word, the law of God at the same time. How many of you remember little jingles that you've heard from throughout your lifetime? The one that came to mind as I was putting this together, you wonder where the yellow went when you brushed your teeth with Pepsodent. That makes no sense. I never bought Pepsodent. It was from my childhood. Just want you to know, that was my childhood. But, yeah, it hangs on. That was from my younger days for sure. My friend Joni heard her younger daughter singing, "Bye-bye, Miss American Pie, drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry." Whatever that song meant, I don't know. But Joni said to her daughter, "Let's put these words to it." And so she put together one of the psalms, and she did Psalm 121:8. "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Psalm 121:8. Psalm 121:8. You see, she took... No applause, nothing. Thank you very much. These are the jokes. This is as good as it gets. John Corson puts scripture, and he says, to music. This is the way he says it. "I put scripture to music," because he says, I don't have a voice for singing. But he wants the congregation to memorize scripture. So he'll just take a tune out of nowhere. It doesn't even sound like something familiar, but people will learn the Word of God by doing that. And we talked about the fact that you're going to have memory verses in this session, and you don't need to be like, I can't do that. I can't remember that. I can't possibly remember that. Or that's such an old term, memory verses. Come on. We are going to memorize these verses. And we are going to come out of this study with these verses in our heart, because we're going to fulfill Psalm 119:11. We're going to hide God's word in our heart. Why? So that we don't sin against him. Why do we hide the word of God in our hearts? That's right. That's what we want to do. Way back when, again, I was very, very young at the time, there was a group called Iron Butterfly. And they had the longest song that was called Inagada Da Vida. I have no idea what any word in that song meant, but it went on for 17.5 minutes. It was the longest song. Here in Psalm 119, we have the longest song in the book of Psalms, or in the book of songs, if you want to call it that. But it only takes 16 minutes to read it, even if you read it slowly. So it's not even as long as some of those old songs. It has 22 stanzas, with no particular bridge or chorus that brings them together except for the continued reference to God's law, to God's words, to God's work. In a song, when you write a song, and I only know this, probably everybody else knows this, but I had to be reminded, there's a hook in a song. It's that word, how would you explain that, Bethany? A hook in the song is a word that's repeated. Is that correct? The catchy part is the hook of the song, hence the name hook, you say it over and over again. So the hook of this song is the word of God, the law of God, and so it brings it into there. And so like I said, each stanza was a Hebrew letter, 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and we're going to cover two each week or 16 verses each week for 11 weeks, so you will be ready and prepared for that. Should you miss a study, I don't know, did you mention that? Should you miss a study in the morning, but you can come in the evening, feel free to come in the evening. You can join at any time. If you have a friend that wants to join in the middle of this study, we've been going for several weeks, and they say, oh, I'd really like to join it, bring them on in. We don't have a time limit on God's word being preached, and we don't want anybody else to do that either. And should you miss the study, you can come to the evening study. Or if you can't come to the evening study, by Thursday, the study is online. And so you can listen to the study and you can keep up in that way if you need to. So you don't have to run behind. If you regularly come in the morning, you can come in the evening. And yes, so here in Psalms 119, we have the word of the Lord. We have the word of the Lord. Actually, we have the law of the Lord, for the law of the Lord is contained in the word of the Lord. The law of the Lord is contained in the word of the Lord. And that's what we have here in Psalm 119. The law of the Lord from the word of the Lord. So let me teach you another song. You're all going to sing it, and I'll bet some of you already know it. Open your Bibles, especially if you have a King James or a New King James. This will work perfectly for you. If you have a Living Bible, this won't work for you at all. But Psalm 19. I'll give you a second to get to it. We're going to start with verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. You just began memorization of Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. Now, every time you look at that psalm, if you didn't know that song already, that tune's going to come to your mind, and those words will naturally come because we learn by singing. We memorize by singing. I wonder, so that when you are doing your memory verses, put it to some music of some sort. I read the whole book of Psalms with putting music to it while I was studying, just to go through it and put music to the whole book as I was going through there. I came up with some really interesting music in there. I have never, Star Trek music, everything. It didn't matter, but it will remind me of the word of the Lord. So Psalm 19 goes with Psalm 119. That's why I had you memorize that, because it goes perfectly with Psalm 119. It's saying the same things. It's talking about the law of the Lord. It's perfect. Converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. And they're more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter also than honey, than the honeycomb. But going back to chapter 119, or Psalm 119, I wonder, with all of these laws and these rules, I wonder, are there some rules that you hate? Some laws that you hate? Yeah, there's some that are coming up recently that I hate. I could say that hate is a very strong word. I hate them. I dislike them profusely. Well, some we don't like, and some we might break because it doesn't make any sense to me. And we might even get away with it. An example. The speed limit is 65. Now, I can go 70 and not worry about getting a ticket because it's a little bit of an area of that 5 miles per hour seems to be a grace time. They give you a little grace for that. But now if I go 70 miles an hour in a 75 miles an hour in a 65 mile an hour zone, I should expect to be stopped. Instead, what happens when we're speeding? What happens? We get pulled over and we go, I was only going 80 in a 65 mile an hour zone. What's the problem? Because the law doesn't make sense to me. I should be able to break the law because it doesn't make sense to me. We're going to find some things in the Word of God that don't make sense to us. But he says, I want you to do it. Here's another illustration. I might say that the stop sign there makes no sense to me, so I don't stop. I just go through that stop sign. Maybe I kind of go through it slowly, you know, do what we call a California stop. I love that. Only in California do you do that, of course. But so I go through this stop sign because I see no reason for there to be a stop sign there. And so I go through it, and someone comes around a blind corner and hits me. Now, it runs into my car. Oh, now I understand why the stop sign was there. Now I see. You see, I don't have the background on why that sign was put there, and I didn't trust the one in charge that put it there. That's what happens to us sometimes when we read some things in the Word of God. We look at it and we say, that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't have to follow that because it makes no sense to me. And what we're saying is, God, I do not trust you. And he is the one person that you can trust above anyone else. Anyone else. You can put your trust in him. Where does that get me when I don't trust? Caught up in a mess that could have been avoided if only I would have kept the law. I wouldn't have been in that accident at the stop sign. I wouldn't have gotten a speeding ticket. I wouldn't find myself in some places where I wonder how I got there if I had followed the Word of God. Okay? So, Psalm 119, verse 126 says, "It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void." It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Verse 126. This is the day that we live in. And I look at what just was on the news this morning about the NFL pulling out of North Carolina. North Carolina, right? Because of the bathroom laws. Because North Carolina says no. We want people who are women to go in the women's bathroom, and we want men to go in the men's bathroom. To me, that is common sense. And I would say to the majority of people, it's common sense. By the way, Target. Do not be fooled by the fact that they are building their one unisex bathroom. They haven't changed how they feel about stuff. They haven't gone back on what, they can't go back on what they said. They can't. As a business, they can't. So they probably are not. Whether or not, however you decide to work with that, I'm not going to say that you need to boycott them or anything. That's up to you. But just be aware. Pray for Target. Pray for the leadership at Target. Whether or not you boycott, pray for them. That's what is the results. That's what changes hearts, is when we pray for people. Whether or not we shop there is between you and God. It doesn't matter to me. But pray for the leadership there that they would not be deceived. They would not be deceived into believing a lie from the enemy and lead other people astray. So that's all I have to say about Target. Target's a wonderful store. They have great stuff. I have no thing about it. It's just, that's the way I feel. And that's all I have to say about that. So that's the day that we live in, that we have counted God's law as void in a number of areas, in the day that we live in right now. But there's one law we can't break, and that's the law of gravity. You can defy the law of gravity. You can get up in an airplane. You can, birds fly. Other thing, you throw ball up in the air. It's never going to stay there because there is a law that says it will come down. Now, you can defy it in different ways, but it will always come down. God's word, God's laws are the law of gravity to us. It keeps us centered. It keeps us focused. The law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. And that is what we need to remember. Now, the Psalms author, as Lisa right there, who has her name tag on, thank God. Notice I don't wear one. I don't care who I am today. We're not sure of who wrote it. I'm pretty sure. Maybe it was Ezra with his love of God's law. Maybe it was even Nehemiah. You remember with Nehemiah in the rubble when they began to build the wall, but they had to do the tearing down and the clearing out of stuff first. And what did they find in the clearing out of stuff? They found the law of the Lord. And when the law of the Lord was there, they stood all day reading the law of the Lord. All day, weeping and crying over this, that they had forgotten the law of the Lord, and now it would refresh their hearts. Maybe it was even Daniel who wrote this, was what one commentator said. But I agree with the older commentators, as does Lisa, from what she wrote and said, that say that David wrote this psalm, and I believe that he wrote it over the course of a lifetime. I don't think it was at all at one time. Perhaps he had one book, a book of remembrance, so to speak, that anything that came to his mind on these different subjects, maybe he wrote it in that one book. James Taylor, my husband's favorite musician friend, when he gets friend, yeah, they're like that. Yes, he loves James Taylor. when he gets a, when James Taylor gets a new idea for a song, he gets a book, a blank book, and anything that has to do with that song, he writes it in that book only. He doesn't write it on another slip of paper. He doesn't put it on anything else. He writes it in that book. And I wonder if perhaps that's what David did as well. As I read through the Psalms over and over, I hear the words of David's life as I understand it. I see a few things in there that remind me of David. First of all, I see in there disappointment, things that just don't go according to the writer's expectations. Do you have some things in your life that don't go according to your expectations? Anyone? Anyone? Yes, we have all had it. Psalm 119:28, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Strengthen me according to your word. Another thing I see is that discouragement, that loss of courage that brings emotional fatigue from what? From spiritual warfare. Anybody been through spiritual warfare recently? Yes, it'd be nice if we didn't have it, but we do have it. And does anybody not know what I'm talking about when I say spiritual warfare? Don't be afraid to raise your hand if you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, because I want to make sure that we all know all of what we're talking about. That spiritual warfare that goes on. Psalm 119:8. This is how we deal with it. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not utterly forsake me. I see despair and demoralization here, that abandon hope and to lose all courage. Yeah, throughout this as well. Psalm 119:92, unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I see here the duty that we have to God to know his word and to be fed and to be renewed. Psalm 119:11, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You see, it all comes back to the glory of God. The glory goes to him. And then there's a decision that needs to be made. I'm going to do it right. Keep focused on God. Psalm 119:30, I have chosen the way of truth. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. And then we have design. A life lived for Christ takes time and study. Determination is perseverance, and discipline bring everything under his control. Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to your word? Pay attention, being doers of the word, taking heed to your word. So how can I see these things in my life? Psalm 119:105, the title of our study, your word is a lamp to my feet, it is a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And we've talked about it at the retreat. I know I've talked about it before here, that this lamp that we're talking about is something that just shows us the next step, just the next step ahead of us. When we were, it doesn't show us anything further on. When we were at the retreat, some gals were out at night. They were looking for the meteor shower that was supposed to take place. And they were out with their flashlights, but their flashlights shone about this much of a circle of the next step that they were going to take. Isn't that just a good illustration of today, just taking that one step at a time? But here's another example, maybe even a better one. It's like driving your car at night. You never see further than your headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. You never see further than your headlights, And you never go, I don't know. I need to see further, do we? We don't do that. We trust the light that's just in front of us. Because that's really all we need to know. Is there a curve coming up? We need to be able to see the sign. The light will reflect on it. So let me close with this direction, with this prayer, if you will. Psalm 119, 133. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Don't allow me, Lord, to become obsessed, addicted, desirous of anything that would bring shame to your name, Lord, or that would bring shame to your people, or that would keep other people from coming to know you as Savior. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you as you begin and continue through this wonderful psalm. May he give you clarity as you study and seek after him. May he fill you to overflowing with his goodness. Verse 68, you are good and you do good. You are good and you do good. Verse 68 of Psalm 119. And may God get all of the glory. That God would get all of the glory at the end of the day. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your love for us and for your desire that we walk in your ways. Help us to hear from you. Help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only, but to walk in a way that brings glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.